Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the B-Team Podcast. As always, they are live on the Jackrabbit Illustrated Facebook and Twitter. We are also live on the FCS Fans Nation YouTube for the fans, by the fans. Beyond that, you can catch the show if you don't catch it live anywhere you get your favorite podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere in between. As always, the B-Team is brought to you by our title sponsor, Kubota Dealers of South Dakota. If you need a tractor, utility vehicle, construction equipment, zero-turn mowers, parts, service, and more, there's always a Kubota dealer near you with 8 locations across the great state of South Dakota. Stop in today and get yourself into some orange equipment. We would also like to take a moment to thank our segment sponsors, Culver's, Brookings and Watertown, Jackrabbit Central, and Cubby's Sports Bar and Grill. And now, B-Team Mafia, the time's arrived. Here's Ben, Chad, and Brendan.
Hey, B-Team Mafia, we are back. We have a very special episode. Thank you, everybody who has joined. We are excited. We're sure you guys are going to have lots of questions for our very special guest. The rest of us don't count. We've been talking about it all year. It's Moms I Love to Hear From segment on the B-Team, and we are most excited to be getting started off with Deb Granowski. Obviously, she is Zach Hines' mom.
It's the red hair, right? It's the red hair.
No, Mark's mom. You know, Mark and Ray got to be on, you know, the Splitting Hairs. So, you know, people check those episodes out if you haven't. They're great interviews. But, you know, we are excited because we got the real star. We got yourself here. So we're very excited to have you, Deb.
Well thank you. And Ryan was on ESPN. So
true. Right. It's your time to shine.
There you go.
Hey, we are the show that consistently beats Monday Night Football. So you're on. I think you're on the bigger deal.
There we go.
That's right. So yeah, definitely. Everybody that's watching, send in your questions for Deb. I think we have some. First of all, I guess we can quickly talk about the Southern Illinois game with you, Deb. How did that go for you? You were down there.
Yeah, we have not missed a game that Mark has started in. During his injury, we went to maybe half the games just to show support to the team and to be there. But we've been to every game. So we were down there. The weather was absolutely gorgeous. But I have to say I was extremely nervous through the first quarter or so until we did score. Then I was able to breathe a little bit better. And then when we went up another score, I actually was able to talk to my friends that were there with us. So
yeah. I was going to ask, who is more nervous during the game? And I think you might have just answered it. You were Ray.
Me. Absolutely. Definitely. Me. Absolutely, yeah. Me.
Do you hold your breath every time he drops back to pass?
like I'm nervous he's going to get hurt or
anything.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily nervous he's going to get hurt. I just want the team to have success. So I have this ritual where back in high school, my girlfriend sent me this sun prayer for, and when I say sun, S-O-N, a prayer for football. Make sure everybody's awesome. Not taking the sun in the sky. But anyway, so she sends it to me every single Saturday when Mark is
no
playing.
Kidding.
Yes. That's cool. So, and that she changes awesome. The name, like Beat the Coyotes, Beat the Bison, you know, she always changes it around. And I read it every Saturday at the start of the game in the stands.
That's awesome.
And then cool. I actually even sent it to Tasha Kraft for Tucker's
game. Yeah.
Nice. She actually posted it on Facebook. So if anybody's interested, go to Tasha's Facebook and it's there.
Well, the success rate of that prayer seems to be going pretty well so far. So I would say keep that tradition going.
Not so much for Tucker this year. They've been having a tough year in Green Bay.
Yeah.
As a Packers fan, I'd say that.
Right.
I'm a Tucker fan, not a Packers fan.
You're there a Bears you fan. We know.
I'm an SDSU fan.
There, that's
right. That's right. That's right. I don't own any Packers gear because I won't wear any green and yellow. So I'm all over that. SDSU is where it's at.
Yeah, he was giving me crap because I bought some steel for the inside of my building and it's green. He's like, it's what color? And I'm like, dude, it's my favorite color. I don't know what to tell you.
No, that's not what you said. What did you say?
I said it was cheap, probably first.
That makes a lot of sense.
Well, the funny thing is that every rival team that Mark has had in high school was gold and green. The Bears is gold and green. SDSU is gold and green.
So don't bring that color to them then. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. That's wild how that works out. That's funny. When Mark was in high school, I got a question. When Mark was in high school and everything, what was it like for you as a mom going through the recruiting practice or the recruiting cycle and then going to hearing South Dakota State? And what was that whole experience like for you?
So Mark met Coach Lujan at a camp here at North Central College. And I think it was the summer before his junior year. And he came home and, of course, you know, Ray handles most of the recruiting process. But when he would come home, I said, oh, did you meet any coaches? Was anybody interested? And he said, yeah, coach from South Dakota State. And I go, South Dakota State? No, we're not going to South Dakota State. South Dakota State. And then I said, all right. I go, what's the mascot? It's a jackrabbit. Okay, great. South Dakota State, and it's a jackrabbit. And that was my honest first opinion. And now, you know, and it's very nerve-wracking because you're always feeling, oh my gosh, did we start too late? Did we miss the boat? Should we have gone to this camp? It is very nerve-wracking. And, you know, with Mark, he was a three-sport athlete. So it was tough to go to a lot of camps because he was playing travel baseball, high school baseball, then basketball. So, but when he decided to go to South Dakota State, we are so blessed right now and so happy he made that decision because it couldn't be any better than what it is.
What was your first thought, like your first drive to campus? What did you expect versus what you got? You know, like, I mean, how was that for you?
Well, when we first, I went with him to his, the camp that he went in June before senior year when they made him the offer. It was a long drive. I kept thinking, oh my gosh, we're going to drive 9 hours one way every weekend or further in North Dakota. But, and I kept thinking Brookings, what the heck is Brookings? It's a small town, 25,000 people. We're from a town of 150,000 people, kind of like the size of Sioux Falls a little bit. But when I got there, the campus was beautiful. The facilities were outstanding. The coaches just were so genuine. It just felt like the right place to be.
What was it like when you first met Coach Stig?
I was very intimidated.
Really?
Yeah, I was so nervous. We were asked to go into his office. We're sitting there. He's explaining to us the scholarship, the offer. And I was just like tongue-tied. I couldn't talk. And he just kept looking at me going, you understand what we're saying here? And I'm like, yeah, this is great. I was just really nervous. I couldn't even talk. I let Ray handle everything.
I suppose it didn't take you very long to realize what a kind soul he was.
Oh my gosh.
There was no need to be nervous around that guy.
No, absolutely not. And he was so kind to Ryan. He sent him a fan package with shirts and hats and he really took a liking to Ryan, which was just awesome. And the best part of it was when Ryan was in the USA Games down in Florida, it was the start of football camp. And we were like, Mark, we really want you to go, but it's football camp. Are you going to be able to leave? And Coach Stig and the team all said, if you don't go, we're going to be mad at you. So the whole team and Coach Stig, he's just a huge family guy, and it was just great.
That's awesome.
I don't know anybody that meets Ryan and doesn't love him immediately. Sorry. I just want to throw that in there. Sorry, so, Dan.
Speaking of Ryan, we did, if anybody was paying attention during one of the coming back from commercial or going to commercial breaks, I can't remember, but we saw Ryan putting on some nice dance moves in the stands, which was awesome to see. Does he get those from mom or dad?
He actually makes them up himself.
Really?
I can't move like him. All of a sudden he'll be doing these dances and I'm trying to copy them. And he's like, mom, stop. You're embarrassing. He probably gets a little bit from Mark. Mark and him have the dance moves, but Ryan just, he loves getting the crowd excited. He loves getting them chanting. Let's go Rabbits, dancing. I think one of the dances you may have seen him dancing to, they were singing Cotton Eye Joe.
Oh, nice.
Mm. Oh, yeah. He was just, you know, dosey-doing.
That's awesome. He loves to throw the horns down. I love doing that with him.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because when we go to other school tailgates, mm-hmm. let's just say, okay, we were up at the North Dakota State, and we were walking around with Gus's older brother, who's huge.
Yep.
And Ryan's walking around going, horns down, horns down. And he's saying a couple other not very nice things that Ryan would, you know, I'm not even going to say it. But I said, Ryan, you're going to get beat up here. You're going to get us in trouble. And Gus's brother's like, nope, I'm his bodyguard. Go ahead, Ryan. And I'm like, don't encourage him.
Eddie.
We're at North Dakota, and they're the, I can't think of it, the Hawks? The
Fighting Hawks.
Fighting Hawks. So he's walking around, and I can't even show you. He's walking around going, broken wing, broken wing. And he's walking around, and I'm like, through the school's tailgate. I'm like, oh my gosh. Man. So he keeps us entertained.
Awesome. His excitement and Mark's performance last year combined for two of the most memorable moments of Jackrabbit sports history. And he cost ABC some money. So awesome.
I'm laughing at the comment. Ryan Swear.
Yeah. Hey, he's getting all sorts of love in the comments. I'm telling you, anybody that meets him loves him. I hope that he watches this, that he knows how much people do love him. So.
Well, you know, and it's funny when people are commenting about his swearing. You guys all know about the LFG.
Yeah.
And the funny part of that was we're at the hotel celebrating and a couple we didn't know comes up to us and goes, oh my gosh, Ryan's interview was awesome. And we're saying, what interview? Ryan was with us the whole time. What interview? And they're like, oh, you got to watch it. So we quickly found it. I was mortified. I'm thinking, what are people going to think? What kind of a parent am I? Then we're flying home. My girlfriend's texting me going, your son's trending or going viral. And I said, Mark? And they're like, no, Ryan. I just look back at it because it makes me laugh. He had 413,000 views.
Oh my God. Wow.
Sure.
No
doubt.
That's awesome. I was like,
He is firmly etched in Jackrabbit lore along with his brother, with no doubt. And for because we are on the FCS Fans Nation Network YouTube here, so we get guys like Ron Lowney and stuff like that from other teams. So for people who don't know, Deb is the mother to many high-end athletes, not just one or two, like it's the whole gang. Your daughter played volleyball.
Softball at
Butler. So Division I softball player. Ryan is a gold medalist at the Special Olympics and played quarterback for Team Illinois. So, I mean, you guys just don't miss. You're just kicking out stud athletes left and right here.
He actually he does sometimes play quarterback. But at those games, he was either a wide receiver or he was a linebacker.
God, I could see him being a linebacker with his energy and tenacity. He's got that in him for sure.
Oh, that's
Helton's great. Yeah.
Dustin's okay.
We do have a write-in question here if you'd like to take this one from Jordan Fink.
Sure.
A He says biggest surprise similarity between Naperville and Brookings and the difference. And there was someone asking where you're from, and you live in Naperville. So
yeah, Naperville is about 40 minutes west of Chicago. So Mark used to get a lot of crap when he said he was from Chicago, and I know Stack would go, No, you're not. You have to turn it. Oh yeah. They would argue back and forth, but you know, the biggest difference is the size. You know, Naperville is 1, 2, 3, 4, like 6 times bigger than Brookings. I would say the biggest difference is the hometown feeling in Brookings. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody's your neighbor. You walk into the restaurants and you feel like you've just known everybody forever. So it's that hometown feeling that I absolutely love in Brookings that you don't necessarily have here because there's too many people.
Absolutely can understand.
Yeah, and you definitely have kind of a small family with the parent tailgate. We always enjoy coming over and visiting you guys. And we appreciate when you come over and visit us. It's been really great getting to know you and Ray. And
who do you recommend us having as the second mom on the segment?
Oh my goodness. Well, I know Kibby would do it, but I don't know if she's allowed to.
Why not? She's awesome. Why not?
Oh my gosh. There's so many wonderful moms. You know, you might be able to get Zach's mom on, Jody.
That'd be great.
Graham Spaulding's mom. She's a hoot. Her and I did the 5K walk. Brenda Cornell, which is Evan Bernstein's mom.
That'd be a great one.
We so might have to.
There's a bunch of moms.
We might have to put it to a fan vote. See who the fans want.
Yeah.
And then see if they
of course they'd have to be willing to come on, and
that's true.
Have to help us with that a little bit, probably put in a good word for us. We're not that bad after all.
But I have to ask you, Brendan. Do you remember the first time we met?
The first time we met. Yes, of course I remember the first time we met. Absolutely, I tell people that story all the time. Yeah, that was when. You gave us the little Mike Wazowski stuff.
Oh, that's right.
That was customized, and Mark signed it for my daughter Tay, and she still has it. It's up, and she just moved rooms, and it has a special place in her new room that she just moved into, in the window looking over her bed. So that was the coolest. That was so funny though, because Ray messaged me on Twitter, and he's like, "Oh, we'll just meet between the tailgate," and I started walking and realized, I don't know what they look like.
I know. No idea. I just knew from seeing you on the podcast. So I just kept walking, looking like, I think you're Brendan.
That worked out. No, that is just the coolest. And I can't thank you guys enough still. That was so cool. Can't say I've ever met anybody in a better way, including my wife, because that was, that's a not a good
and
story.
If people are going, what the heck are they talking about? Brendan put on a tweet, or do you call it X now? I'm not sure.
No, you're right. Tweet.
That his daughter kept calling Mark, instead of Mark Gronowski, Mike Wachowski from Monsters Inc. So I found a little Monsters Inc. guy, Mike, with a football, and put Mark's jersey number on it.
Yeah, it's so cool. I'm going to have to, I should go grab it. It's all the way in the basement, though. It'll take me a minute, but it is.
Yeah, phenomenal. Well, maybe Ariel will get an assist on that potentially by the end of the podcast. So.
But I was reading the question before. Someone asked, you know, when did you realize Mark was so special? There it is. I would say from an athleticism standpoint, he was 3 years old and said, "Mom, take off my training wheels." And he was 3 years old riding a two-wheeler, rollerblading, not on the four-wheel rollerblades, but on the two, you know, the single wheel. So we knew he was athletic early on. And then from there with leadership and stuff, he was interviewed by a newspaper that was doing a special on siblings of special needs children. And they said, "Mark, what would you recommend for adults, for other parents?" And he said, "They spend so much time focusing on the special needs child that they sometimes forget the other children are there. So they need to set up a date night for their other children and take them out one-on-one. And she was like, and he was only 10 at the time.
That's oh, wow.
And I didn't coach him on that. He came up with it. So it was at that point he was starting to mature and, you know, he grew up on the bleachers with his older siblings and having Ryan around. He grew up faster than a lot of kids and more mature than other kids earlier.
Somebody asked earlier how calm he always looks. Has he always been that way? Just calm, cool, collected?
Always, always. Yeah. He's, whether it was in baseball or basketball or football, mostly football, they're just like, he's just so calm out there. He doesn't get frustrated. He doesn't get excited. He keeps everybody calm. I'm the one that's gets hyper and my anxiety's off the charts. And he's like, Mom, chill, chill. And he's like, no, Mom, it's fine. It's fine.
That's great.
So was when Mark first came to Brookings, was there any, and he was acclimating coming from Naperville and big Chicago, greater metro area, that whole jazz to going to Brookings. Was there an acclimation period for him, or was he just right away fit in like a bug in a rug?
I think he just fit in right away. He is, while he's a city boy, he's also an outdoorsman guy. So he would love going fishing with my dad up north in Wisconsin, and just, he has the patience to sit on a boat for 8-10 hours, you know, and catch 2 fish. He can just do that. He loves the outdoors. He got acclimated to hunting, loved that. So he adapted really well. The only thing was hard was the choice of restaurants. You didn't have as many. You don't have Portillo's, Lou Malnati's.
There's no Italian beef in Brookings. So.
No. And a lot of people didn't know what an Italian beef was.
Well, I do. I've had Portillo's.
Or Jardiniere. Do you know what Jardiniere is?
I don't.
Mm-mm. No? See? No. I'm going to have to bring some for you. It's like...
You don't have
to. It's like spicy jalapenos and carrots and celery, yes, and cauliflower in an oil, and it's real spicy, and you put it on your beef for hot dogs. And
oh,
I've seen it, that they have that at Portillo's too. I know, right?
Does Lou Malnati's travel well? Because I could really use one of their pizzas.
Right.
I've had that too.
We will bring Jardiniere, so Lou Malnati's pizza.
What's the other one? Is it like Giordano's, I think? Is that really good too?
Giordano's. Giordano's, yes. Lumalnati's. I think I personally, Ryan has Lumalnati's pizza every Thursday night. And he's had it since he was probably 14. So nice. 12 years, every Thursday we have Lumalnati's pizza.
Nice. I am interested in your answer to Jim's question here. He says, if a parent of a potential player would ask you what makes SDSU special, what would you say?
I would have to say the people. It's the culture. It's almost like when they recruit, they look deep inside the person's, I don't know what the right word is, personality, their family, just how they, their character. And it just seems everybody is so genuine. You just feel like a whole big family. And the coaches, they care about the players, not only as the player, but as an individual. The parents all cheer for each other. They all support one another. The community is absolutely amazing. They're so supportive. So I say that my favorite thing about Brookings and going to SDSU is the culture and the thought process with the coaches. They truly care.
That's pretty cool. And I feel like we have Stig to thank for that. I think that's what Stig built, and that's why SDSU football is what it is. And it's cool to hear you say it, because I think that sentiment would be the same for a lot of parents that have kids that go play football at SDSU.
You know, and to have, I think it's 11, was it 11 returning starters from the team last year?
Mm-hmm.
For them to stay an extra sixth year and, you know, or give up NIL deals to go to other schools to stay at SDSU says something, and not many people go into the portal.
True.
They all seem to have this selflessness attitude that, you know, I'll ask Mark a question. I'll say, Mark, so are we going to pass more at this game? You know, we've been doing a lot of running or this or that. And Mark goes, Mom, as long as we're winning, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if I'm passing, handing it off. It's not about, you know, it's not about the stats. It's about the W at the end.
That's such a culture thing.
Well said.
So have you seen market changes at all in the way things are done now versus last year? Or has Mark maybe mentioned anything different with Jimmy than what it was with Stig? Because obviously they're different, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, I think I haven't really talked to him that much about it, but I would probably say Jimmy is a little bit more direct in.
That's a good way of putting it.
In his coaching, where Stig maybe was a little bit more passive. Maybe not. I'm not quite sure if I'm saying the right word, but a little bit more quiet, where Jimmy is a little bit more verbose.
Husband's got a comment for you. You're getting clowned by Ray. Oh no.
You have any lights in your house? I have your stupid shiny thing on my face. Okay, wait. Did you pay the bill, Ray?
he's supposed to be the one in charge of light bulbs, isn't he? So
how cool is it to come home every weekend to the awesome neighbors that you had last year?
Right.
I don't know if, I'm sure they're probably still doing that. I don't know, but that was really certainly something cool to see when Ray would put that up for us all.
They are absolutely the best. Tracy, and how about popping for a ring light? I have a ring light. See? And it's not working. It's hiding my wrinkles. But they're amazing. Tracy and Pat Considine live right next door to us. And Pat and Ryan have this rivalry that go back and forth. They're Sox fans, we're Cubs fans. So Pat bought Ryan a W sign. So when the Cubs win, he puts the W sign in his window facing their house. You know, when we came home from when we were going to Frisco, we came home from that Montana State game. He had a huge sign in our front yard, a chair with a cowboy hat on it, and had the Frisco song playing, if you're going to play in Texas. When Ryan came home from USA Games, they had a huge banner in the front yard, and they were all standing out there cheering and singing, and they had the whole family out there. I mean, they're just amazing neighbors.
That is really cool sport they have right next door. That
is, and that's they, everybody dreams of. Every game we win, they fly the Jackrabbit flag, the SDSU flag in their front yard.
So that's been flying a lot.
Yes, it has. Hi, Quentin.
While Quentin's listening, I just have to say,
hey, six that, sack, dude.
Yeah. And yeah, right. The celebration for Stone with the reel.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, that was so awesome.
It was at the he was doing it at the press box, wasn't he?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Camera.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. That was amazing.
Was that Quentin that did that?
Yeah.
I saw somebody doing it on the field.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
Oh, what was it like to hear Mark was going to start? Okay. So, you know, when Ray has always talked to Mark, because Ray's been through this whole, you know, college thing. And he's like, Mark, you know, you have to pay your dues, you know, don't expect to start, work hard. You have to work your way to be a starter. And I think with COVID happening and not playing in the fall, it gave Mark extra time. And I would, a couple days before the UNI game is when we were told Mark called us and said he was going to start. And we probably said a few explicitives like, holy shit, what? Are you kidding us? And oh my gosh. And so we couldn't tell anybody. So nobody knew until the start of the game. And, you know, we're sitting there. We don't know any other parents or anything. And I'm sitting there and I had my beer in my hand, and I'm like, okay, people can't think like I drink too much, or, you know, I was just so nervous. And then I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, you know, we're winning. And then, you know, our phone is blowing up there going, oh my gosh, Mark's starting. And I'm yelling at Ray, turn the phone off, pay attention to the game. And then I think we won in what, the last 33 seconds, Mark threw to Pierre.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, we won. Oh my gosh, we won. And it was surreal. It was out of body experience.
I believe it.
So how easy was it to integrate into the rest of the parents after you started meeting everybody?
At first it was a little tough because it was COVID. Mm-hmm. So, tailgating was shut down. So pretty much you just met the people that were staying in your hotel. And what was awesome was we met the Jen Schaefer, Jen and Mike Schaefer, the Norblades, the Heidis, the Spaldings, everybody was staying there. And they really welcomed us with open arms from day one. The hard part was we really didn't get to meet a lot of the freshman parents until kind of the second year, but Mark was hurt, so we weren't at all the games. So it really wasn't until last year that we really started getting to know a lot of the freshman parents, because we were hanging out with the sophomore parents, I guess you would call them.
Right.
And we've become good friends with them, and now we're starting to meet everybody else too, because nobody else was traveling at that time, and it was such a small niche because of COVID.
You guys have a pretty tight-knit group over there with the parents' tailgate and everything like that. And I know you cut away to say hey to us, which is awesome. We love seeing you guys. And so you're welcome anytime.
Thank you. I'm always telling Ray, okay, I got beer for them. You know, we got to go to the tailgate a half hour early because I have to run over there, or just drop me off. I'll drop. So it's fun.
Yeah, and we try and trade, right? We try and trade, and sometimes that works out. I think it always works out better for us, but
it does. Absolutely.
Your beer is like awesome.
By a mile.
I think I've gotten
the short end of the stick on the beer.
I think I've gotten her one or two that's good, though. I mean, she likes.
Yeah. You're good at that.
That's stouter.
There was one that was like 13% alcohol.
Right.
Honestly,
cooler than all the beer, the maternity shirt for Ariel, my wife, is incredible. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
So much. You guys and the Poppins, they're the only maternity shirts she has so far. I'm trying to get her to let us get more, and she's like, I'll just wear your clothes. I'm like, well, can we just get you stuff for you? That hasn't been going that way. But she loves them to death. She's really excited because we couldn't find, obviously, SDSU maternity gear anywhere. Jackrabbit Central.
So this Kish must be a friend of yours?
Yeah, yes. Her son is Lou, and Lou was one of Ryan's teammates at the Special Olympics.
Awesome.
Down in Florida. So she's a good friend of mine.
Well, great to have you on, Kish. Thanks for the comments. You're always welcome to watch.
Yeah.
I don't know how entertaining we are to people that are more casual observers, but.
But the a funny thing that happened at the SIU game is we're at our hotel. It was Friday night. We were sitting there having, a drink in the lobby, us, Kish, and another couple that was with us. And this guy walks in and he's like, oh, SDSU people. And we're like, yeah, are you SIU? And he goes, yeah, I'm the 1983 championship. And
no kidding.
Oh, that's cool. And he goes, wait, they just gave us championship rings. I'm going to go get it and show you guys. So Ray came down and I go, Ray, you got to stay. We got to see this guy's championship ring. And Ray goes, 83. And Ray's on his phone, Googling something. And the guy comes down, bunch of his other friends come in. And Ray goes, 83. He goes, I played for Drake. He goes, we played you in 83. Terry Taylor, Denise. That's the other couple that was with us. And so Terry Taylor was there, who was the defensive back for SIU back in 83. He played in the pros for 12 years. And he's going, I remember you, Ray. And Ray goes, I remember you. And then they all start talking and he goes, I think I sacked you. And I mean, it was crazy.
It's that like, is wild.
This is just more evidence that a movie needs to be made about the Gronowski family.
Yeah, no doubt.
There has to be a 30 for 30 on it at some point.
At a minimum, yes.
Incredible.
It's like that, what, Kevin Bacon, 7 degrees of, or what's that saying? I can't
remember. Seven degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
We need a 7 degrees of the Gronowski family.
I don't think she's bringing Yingling, but nice try. It's better beer than that.
A lot better than.
Can you guys not get Yingling?
Yingling's not distributed yet in South Dakota.
So. Oh, I'll bring you some. Nearby.
You don't have to.
You really don't have to.
You really don't have to.
Oh, you guys don't like Yingling?
Oh, it's good.
Oh, I do like Yingling. I really like Yingling, actually. But
I'm trying to find the Indeed Brewery in Minnesota.
You need Indeed? We can get that.
It's pistachio cream ale.
Oh.
Pretty sure we get that at Willikers.
Do some contact. Make that happen. Yeah.
That's right.
That pistachio
cream ale. We make that happen.
Yeah.
Pistachio, if I can spell pistachio. Let's pause the podcast. Everybody stop what you're doing. Everybody.
Yeah, this is great radio. We're all writing this down. everybody
like we can't listen back to it.
Yeah, right. It's very true, Ben. Like
I don't want to listen back to myself.
Yeah.
Although I did because Ben had me down for incorrect picks, so I don't know how long he's been cheating, but he's not good at it because I'm still beating him.
I got kind of a dumb question. How did you happen upon our podcast and what did you watch first? B team, A team? Not that it really matters. Just curious, you know, were you listening before you watched? Did you watch before you listen? I mean, you guys kind of started when we started. Well, it had already started, but when it really started, got rolling was the year with COVID, I would say. Right, guys.
I honestly don't remember the first time I listened to you guys. Pistachio cream ale. But I, you know, we have 9 hours to drive home. So we would be looking through our, you know, phones. We would replay the game, you know, on the phone and listen to it. We would, you know, start Googling stuff, listening to the interviews, the coaches talking, and we just somehow happened to come across it and just started listening to it.
And you thought that's we were a bunch of
it was fun dudes
with the mics.
it's fun. Now, sometimes, see, I don't like to hear about the other team. Like, you know, what you guys think about the other team. Like, you know, oh, you know, SIU this, SIU that, or they've got the greatest defense or whatever. I'm like, I don't want to hear that. I just want to, I almost sometimes just put you on in the background and walk around and do other stuff.
that's fair. So you did catch our last B team pod with Stone Lemanowitz. He's something else.
You want us to be more homers is what you're saying. We need to be all pro SDSU.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. We were getting some interesting texts from friends that were listening to the show on TV.
Stone is nothing if not
used.
Sure. Yep. Stone's a good dude. He's very, very strong in his convictions.
here's a good question after the you need to try a grain belt from Corey Mensch. Matthew Krell says, any great recruits coming from Naperville coming from Naperville to SDSU and out of this coming class? I think we do have some people coming. Do you know anything?
There is somebody coming from, I think, Naperville North, where John Bell went to school. I think he's a, oh my goodness. Ray would know the answer to this. Ray, are you there? Can you type in
his? He's there. He commented on when he started listening.
I started listening.
Didn't tell about it. Yeah, it was so good you didn't tell her about it.
It's a secret. I can't expose her to this too early. She's got to be fully inundated before this one comes.
But yeah, there is somebody coming from Naperville.
That is
awesome.
Yeah, I thought I remember seeing that.
Yeah, I think I saw it too. Terry Yengen. Yuengling is a beer from out east. It's the oldest brewery, continually operating brewery in the United States. And it's the only one that's older than Shell's. So,
you know, getting me arrested. I've already gotten pulled over by South Dakota cops.
UPD.
There's someone worst. From Illinois getting pulled over for maybe driving too fast.
Well,
as a Wisconsinite, never.
It's funny because it's crazy. You come down 29, you're going 80 miles an hour, then you got to drop down to 65, and then you get back on, you know, 90, 94, whatever that road is, and then it's 65, and then it shoots up to 70. So it's all over the board. I didn't have my phone set up in the car, and I was arguing with Ray, what's the speed limit? He goes, just go 70. If it's 65, you're going 70. If it's 70, you're going 70. No, got pulled over. Cop made me get out of the car. This was during the spring game.
Oh, no.
The spring game first year. So it was the spring game 2020. 2020. And makes me get out of the car. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, he makes me get out, get in his car. Ray's taking pictures of me, sending them to the kids. Mom's
of course he is. Of course. Absolutely is.
And the cop literally, he gave me a warning, but I told him, I said, I was only going 5 over. And he goes, we take our speeding very seriously here. I said, going 5 over in Chicago would get me killed. You have to go at least 10, 15 over. And he goes, well, we're not in Chicago.
I could see that coming when you're saying it.
I knew it too, yeah.
I think Kevin's comment here is, so Kevin is on FCS Nation Radio with Stone Labanowitz.
Yeah, that's his co-host.
Yeah, I think he's referring to how Stone thought. He thought they were going to have some explosive plays against us. So I think he's looking to throw a little shade against Stone here.
So if you want to humor him, go ahead. If not,
I was going to get a little crow.
Yeah. Were you going to send it to him for a meal then? Is that not the idea?
No, he was, you know, you got to respect him for saying what he believes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though he was wrong.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But, you know, he said some nice things about Mark, and he's, you know, Ray watches his show sometimes, and he's always respected him for his opinion. So
said a lot of nice things about Mark during the game.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, definitely.
For sure.
He did.
So do you feel more comfortable as a mom when you get to see the guys that are the 605 Hogs that are going to be protecting him? When you
oh my gosh,
among those mountains of human flesh.
Those 605 Hogs are awesome. And after every game, I'll go up to Garrett, and if I see Mason, I'm like, thank you for protecting my son. Thank you.
That's great.
Couldn't ask for a better O-line.
Yeah, them guys are real good.
Awesome. Well, Deb, we don't want to take up too much of your time tonight. We do have to get to a recap of Southern Illinois and preview the USD game. Before you go, what are your thoughts on the USD game? How do you think it's going to go?
We're going to win. There's no other way to think about it. We're going to win.
I mean, we could just end the podcast now.
Hey,
you're done.
Our next mother I'd like to hear from is chiming Kibby, in. Yeah. I hope her knee's doing well. And yeah.
Yeah. Kibby. I saw her scar. That was nasty.
But yes, thank you, Deb. We appreciate you being on.
Yes.
And should I say,
see you at the next tailgate.
And should I say boo Brendan ahead of time for Ryan?
Yes, probably. Yes, you probably should.
If you're just talking about the spread, I get it. Maybe we won't cover the spread, whatever.
It's this. I'm always picking against the spread, but okay. I know Ryan boos me anyway. Okay. That's okay.
That's okay. You just have to say that SDSU is going to win, but maybe not cover the spread, which is fine.
There you go.
Well, at this point, it's good luck if he boos me. So I'm willing to take the heat from Ryan if it works for us.
Okay. Sounds good.
I hear you thought this was going to be tough. You were an amazing guest, Deb.
You're a rock star.
I have so much more to talk about, but hey. I know.
We can have you on again in the future.
Absolutely. We will have you back if you want to be back.
I'll guarantee you, you'll be our first repeat mother.
What is
we'd
Brian's
like to hear
smack
from.
Talk for this week?
Yeah,
I will have to ask him.
I'm sure he's got something for the coyotes.
We gotta have somebody shoot a coyote and give it to Ryan. In the
just let him carry around a dead coyote.
Let him carry
that
a dead
would be
coyote.
Awesome.
I bet he would get a kick out of that.
He would do it.
I have no doubt. Oh, I got
he might walk around dragging his leg like he's injured or something. I don't know.
A wounded pup.
Yeah.
Get him a brace of a mount him on a stick and he can walk with it like a staff. That'll make it work.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome.
Thank you for
Deb.
Being on.
Thanks,
right, how do I get off?
I'll just take you off here.
Leave studio. I see it.
Yeah.
Awesome. That was great. Thank you so much to Deb for being
Deb,
on.
You are awesome. That was phenomenal.
Yeah.
We already knew that because we've met her
yes.
a lot.
Yes.
Spent quite a bit of time talking to her. So
yeah.
You guys got to see what we see on a semi-regular basis at tailgating. So.
For sure.
Oh, that's funny. That's her friend.
Yeah,
I wish that
okay.
was
okay. I'm glad her friends got that. All right. anyways, okay.
I was trying to click on the next comment and pop
others I'd love to hear from. Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, no, it was terrible.
It's what happens. They like move up. You click, you go to click on one, and the next one.
And Kibby, since you're watching, you're on our list as the number two mother we'd like to hear from. So we'll be in contact.
I'll talk to you sometime down at your place of business down there at Josiah's. We'll figure it out.
It doesn't surprise me that this happened, but it was like, oh, Deb, we'll have you on for 15 minutes. And I was like, oh, we're
well,
that's not time. We do have to talk about the next game a little bit.
I know. I felt
she was telling me, she's like, I don't have that much to say. I'm not that interesting. I'm like, you'll
no
be fine.
Way. Yeah.
She's like, it's only a half an hour. I'm going to promise you it'll be just a little bit more.
Yeah.
I feel like that's official confirmation from Kibby there. She said, sounds good. So
perfect.
We'll call it official second guest coming up. Yeah, to a B Team podcast soon.
Yes. Mason's scared. That's even better. Mason's scared. This is
get
gonna
the
be
stories ready. We want to hear them.
Yeah, all of them. All
that's
of them.
Awesome.
Oh my god.
All right.
That's gonna be phenomenal.
Well, let's very quickly. Any thoughts from the SIU game that the A Team hasn't covered, because they did talk about it quite a bit. So we don't need to fully cover it. If you want SIU recap. They did a great job of it. I don't know that there's anything I need to add. Obviously, our defense played amazing. That the pick from Beanham was just a spark that we needed badly. And then Wilde going deep over the top. It was just it was a nerve-wracking game, but we did what we needed to do, came away with the win. That's all I got to say about it. You got anything to add?
I can't think of anything that I didn't ramble on the post game show since we went until 1:30 in the morning.
Also,
so I probably
right.
Ariel came down and yelled at me because then Borg and I were shooting the shit for like an hour after, and all of a sudden I look up and there's an angry woman in a robe glaring at me like, shit, I'm busted.
That's awesome.
What are you doing? I'm like, I'm still going. Don't walk in front of the camera. I'm Zach's right here.
That's good
obviously
stuff.
I've already said my piece. So,
all right. Well, with that, we'll just move on to a recap of our picks. I went 4-4. Brendan went 5-3. The computer went 6-2. I'm losing more ground. It's not good. Western Carolina didn't do what they needed to do. Furman beat them 29-17. Very good showing by Furman. They've shown that they have a good defense and they can do enough on offense. They, you know, could be a force to reckon with come playoff time. I think they'll be there. You know, if they hold out, I think they only play, is it Chattanooga? I think is their only real test left. And so, you know, they're in line for a top I don't know, top 4 or 5 seed at this point, considering the way the rest of the FCS has gone. So it'll be interesting to see what they can do come playoff time. The second one, Montana State with another statement win. They beat Sac State 42-30, and that was at Sacramento State. Big win for them. Again, you know, staying in line for that number 2 seed. They still have some tough games coming up. They play Idaho this week. They've still got Montana on their schedule. They've just got a just as tough of a schedule as SDSU has. So we'll see if they can keep it rolling. Kind of surprised Sac State was able to score that many points on them, but USD, they took care of Indiana State 17-3. It wasn't real pretty. It wasn't real impressive, but it was a win. You know, it was against an Indiana State team that we don't think is very good. So they, I mean, we thought they would have, or I thought they would have taken care of business. Brendan had faith in Indiana State. But
fatal flaw, buddy.
I know, that's my bad. NDSU did what we thought they would do. They whooped up on Western Illinois 52-7, covered their spread. Missouri State held on against Murray State 28-24. That was a really fun game to watch. We kind of had that going on the side. Murray State continues to show that, you know, they're not just going to roll over and die in the Missouri Valley. They're a decent team, and it's good to see that. You know, I think if you look back when we heard that they were going to be added to the conference, I think we all thought, oh, geez, here, like, why are we adding Murray State? They're just going to be a garbage team. And I think they've shown that they can play in the Valley.
Yeah. That's all I got to add is yeah, I guess.
Oh, perfect. Thanks for the input. I'll move on. You look like you had something to say, so I paused.
I thought I did, but I didn't.
Oh, this is B team quality right here, guys.
All right, baby.
I'll just keep going then. Youngstown State.
Like, we used to start at 11 at night.
Youngstown State with a huge win. If they didn't win this game, they're probably out of the playoff contention. They took out Illinois State 41-38. And but did not cover. UNI, they beat UND 27-0. This was the surprising outcome of the week in the Valley. Don't know if UND had just a hangover from, you know, there's the UND hangover from playing them and feeling physically beat up, but there's also potentially with how big of a win it was for them that they partied so hard that they were still hungover on Saturday. So Brendan, you look like you have a comment.
I do. Yeah. That's it. You're doing good. No, look, this isn't a criticism or anything, but when the head coach is in tears about a regular season game that you won, it shouldn't surprise anybody that they came out flatter than dog shit on that game on the road, no less. I mean, that just shouldn't have shocked anybody. It didn't shock me. Shocked Ben, not me.
Yeah, I mean,
if somebody wants to have fun on picking against the spread without spending money, pick against the spread and then have something on the line with one of your friends. It is so much more fun.
It is.
You just talk mad shit the whole time.
It's just as good as money.
It's pretty much.
You mean like Hello Kitty ears?
Yes.
Yeah, boy, I am in a world of hurt at this point.
Yeah, well, not as bad as what they looked like. They hurt Brendan's head. And they do. You know, he's got a giant noggin. I don't know how yours compares, but
it's my turn next. Smaller.
I'm sure it won't fit mine well either. But yeah, what happened to UND?
Traveling headphones.
What happened to UND, Ron? I don't know. I mean, they look good. Not only against NDSU, they've looked good in their games all year. So just
they haven't won a road game yet this season.
I was like, don't they traditionally lose like all their road games pretty much? Except for you know, against
you
Western.
You guys keep talking.
Illinois.
I'm gonna look up Bubba's record here.
On the road.
You talk amongst yourselves.
You're doing good. Zach McKinnell's chiming in. UNI is the most bipolar team in the country. That's what happened. And he's not wrong, mm-hmm. I don't think.
No.
Well, it's true.
They're playing for their playoff lives and they're at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's vintage.
So what you're saying is they may be dangerous to face.
So what you're saying is we should have seen this coming.
Yes.
Well, I guess I'm the idiot.
Especially didn't you accuse me of taking you and I too? You did. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. The game. You're like, I got you down for you and I. And I was like, no, I went.
You did take you and I.
I did. No, I did not. Oh, right. You accused me of taking you and D.
Yes, correct.
Potato, potato.
I was looking at the wrong picks. Just relax. I had the right picks. Don't you worry about it. Lastly, SDSU 117-10 did not cover the spread. We were fairly confident that they were going to cover the spread when we were up 14-0. And then Southern Illinois kind of hung around, got a garage time field goal to get within seven there. But that summarizes the picks. I am a not very good 28-36-2 overall. Brendan got up to 500, 32-32-2. And the computer is a really good 32-23-2. So we need to do better. I might just start tailing the computer at this point because I don't know.
Don't you guys have to answer before the computer is given?
No, the computer always answers before us.
You should do it the other way.
Yeah, probably.
I'm going with having I think we should do that now that he's admitted he's going to tail the computer.
Whatever. I was looking for the FCS Fans Nation Top 25.
It's not up, but I have the other one, so give me a second. This new format makes it harder.
Why don't we use Fans Nation instead?
That's what I was trying to do.
They FCS posted it. Nation, sorry.
FCS Nation's fine. We can put theirs up.
Okay, but give me a hot second to find that one. Let me share the bad one first, because it's just the one that was easiest to find.
Sorry, it's hidden Kevin. In there between Kevin's tweets yelling at people about their polls.
He's all about the polls and other people's polls.
He is infatuated with polls. It might be a short guy thing. I don't know.
So we have a poll up here, but Apple. It's impossible to read.
Say it that way again.
I thought I made it big enough you can read it. Sorry.
Zoom in further.
You sound like when you were kids on the playground telling another kid to hold your tongue and say apple. That's what you sound like.
Anyway, Chad, the problem wasn't that I couldn't read it. It's I couldn't see more than a few teams. Now I can only see one team.
Well, don't lick.
Well, you said zoom in or not less.
I was joking.
This is exactly what I was hoping for tonight. Everybody's wondering. I'm still looking for Bubba's home and away record, and I can't find it.
I wish we put Alex on that. He's on here, so he could just, you know.
Where's my guy Ron? He was pulling up all sorts of stats like that.
A
desperate NDSU team can be dangerous too. We don't know. We've never seen a desperate NDSU team.
That's true. We really haven't.
Chad, what are you looking for? I just found it in 2 seconds.
Okay. Well, good for you on your phone.
Dear Twitter.
All right. I've got SDSU at 1, Montana State 2, Furman 3, Delaware 4, UST 5. And then for other Missouri Valley teams, we've got SIU down to number 11. UND at 13, NDSU at 14, Youngstown State at 15. And I believe that and you and I coming in at 23. Don't know if I agree with that. I haven't seen you and I ranked in many polls, but there's been a lot of teams losing, so I can understand it because there aren't just it's tough to rank 25 teams at this point.
Once you got to 25, I didn't get done with my poll until 2. I submitted at 2 in the morning.
That was last night. That wasn't last after night. The Borg thing.
No. And I started on like 11:30. And like you get to the bottom 25 teams, and like who else are you gonna put in? UC Davis? Like they haven't actually beaten anybody, and without Larimore or Larison, their running back, their stud running back, like you know they're no good. So like, and they beat, you're gonna put a team in the poll who beat Weber by one, and Weber we've known has shown themselves not to be a rankable team. And it goes on and on from there, where you're like, God, I don't feel good about them. I don't feel good about them, whatever. But I do enjoy all the chaos in the FCS right now. There's a lot of the, you know, if you compare the bottom of the top, the middle of the top 25 down to SDSU, no, they're not going to look great. They're just not. I think we as SDSU fans have a little bit of what NDSU fans would do going on, where your team was so good that you just assume all the other teams are trash, not that your team's just that good. I think SDSU, we've raised ourselves up to a level where now you're like, well, why aren't these other teams that good? But that's because this team's freaking insane that we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the chaos that's happening doesn't mean nobody's good. It means there's a lot of parity, and that's fun to me. I get a kick out of that. I mean, would you rather the top 25 never changes at all?
Yeah, no, I think it's just evidence that there's a big gap between the top two and the rest of the FCS, but it's not that the rest of the FCS is bad.
That's the week seven poll, Chad.
Like you said.
Oh, yeah.
Like you said, it's just that.
That's what he linked on his website.
So. There's a lot of parity in the rest of the FCS, and it's just, it's been fun. It's been fun seeing all the wackiness and chaos going on. But moving on to next week, we will, on Wednesday night, we'll pick all the Valley games plus Montana State going to Idaho. There's some bad Valley games, but notable one. I think really the only notable one. I don't know. Are there notable ones outside of? So you got Indiana State at UND. Meh. Southern Illinois at Western Illinois.
By a billion.
Southern Illinois win by a billion. Murray State at NDSU. ASU win by a billion. Missouri State at Youngstown State. I guess that one's interesting. And then UNI goes to Illinois State. That'll be interesting to see if UNI can keep their momentum going. But obviously, the biggest game in the Valley, the biggest game in all of the FCS this weekend is number one SDSU going to number four or five USD, depending on the poll you look at. Chad's showing the Valley standings here. SDSU and USD are at the top of the Valley, both 4-0. So yeah, it's a monster game. It's you can call it a rivalry or a old rivalry, dead rivalry, whatever. I mean, I think there's still a rivalry there, and it matters a lot. Yeah, it's a huge game, and really looking forward to it.
First off, Alex, I'm not going to text you ahead of time. Get something other than a 2002 gateway so your computer doesn't melt down. And we don't.
How many baud's is your modem, bud?
God. If it came with a box that looked like a cow, it's too old.
Yep.
A whole, what are we running this on? Particular. Are we running our computer simulations on a Bissell vacuum cleaner hooked up to something? No, I'm kidding. Alex, it does a great job. And tune into that for that. Shout out to the Hair Raisers for taking us on their trips around the Valley every week on our picks as well. We'll touch on that later too.
Yeah, they do a great job of recapping.
If you don't listen to their podcast, you really need to.
Yes, it's about all Jackrabbit sports and nothing at the same time, and it's the best. It's really fun. Like Seinfeld was a show about nothing.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is it fair to call it the Seinfeld show of the
rabbits? You know what it's like? It's like a morning DJ talk show that's about Jackrabbit football instead of songs.
This is true.
So instead of songs playing, because they have their trivia that they do, and it's a lot of fun. On the game, I would say the rivalry was about dead. And it's coming back.
Yeah.
You know, if USD wants it to be like the rivalry, it's not the rivalry. That's the marker game. I won't say that's not a rivalry anymore. If they stay good, you know, like, right. And I'm not saying top 10 good, like consistently top 25 in the playoff hunt. That'll make it mean a lot more, and it'll make it grow. If you want SDSU fans to care a hell of a lot more about this game, get good, son. Like, and they are good. They're very good this year.
Yeah. You know?
I that's gonna get clipped, son of a bitch.
Get Good Son makes their hype video. That would be amazing. Get Good
Son.
I hope it makes their own hype video. I think that'd be great.
Shout out to Stone for making the hype video for SDSU this week. That was awesome.
It was.
I could probably the biggest thing against the whole game day thing is they haven't been good, you know? So like you said, get good, son.
You're right.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think as far as the game day thing, they probably would have got it if Utah would have lost. Honestly,
I think so. I think it was in the works. It was on our radar for what? Well over a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So funny one all to get my last thing of shit talk out of the way. I said my dad had never seen the Dakota Dome before, and he worked in wastewater for years.
It is a good comment. Yeah.
Kevin says all eyes on Vermilion Eyewash stock source. and we're going to get into something about Kevin and what FCS Nation Radio is doing in a little bit later. We can't forget that about Alex's lemonade stand. But I sent this a picture of the Dakota Dome to my dad, and I said, it looks like a wastewater treatment plant. It looks like an anaerobic digester. And he's like, oh, you're just being dramatic and your rivalry thing and whatever. Because they live in Wisconsin and they care, but they don't care about the rivalry that much. Not with USD anyways. They couldn't find Vermilion on a map. But I sent that picture to my dad and he dropped his phone. He was laughing so hard because he's like, it looks just like an anaerobic digester. Oh my God.
Ah! It does.
But I actually went and did a whole bunch of stat digging today because I got really focused on that for some reason after hearing Matt mention how reliant their offense is on the big play. And I was like, yeah, I feel that way too, but I'm not for sure. So I went and checked it out, and I already texted you guys. You guys already know this, but just South Dakota's touchdown drives, they have 11 touchdowns that are inside the red zone, and then they have 11 big play touchdowns. So half of their touchdowns come from 20 yards or further out, which sounds like a lot, but you're not sure it's a lot. So I went and checked our stats to see how that compares. We have to date so far 22 red zone touchdowns and 14 big play touchdowns. So a ratio of 2-1-ish. And that seems what should be normal for a football team. And they are 1-1 ratio right now, which is wild. And before a USD fan jumps on here and goes, oh, but you included your Drake stats in Western Oregon. Yeah, you guys played Lamar and a St. Thomas team that got woodshedded worse than what you did to them by Drake. So I want you to think about that. And don't try to be like, but Drake, don't. I'm going to be nice. You be nice. Okay. That's fair. I know I'm USD fans' least favorite fan, by the way, because I get personal attacks and shit thrown at me on Twitter, and it's too bad because they're so sad. But
you can't even view their board on a Google search, which is hilarious to me.
Oh, it's so funny. They hate me. It's awesome. So, back in my shit posting days, I got under some people's skin.
To summarize your stats, they live and die by the big play.
Correct, sir.
And yes, and it is very true. When you watch their games, they do have a lot of big plays, which is fun. You know, it's a fun brand of football.
It's effective for them.
Yes, and it has worked for them so far. They have had some good breaks, I think, that have really gone their way. In terms of, I think it was the Youngstown game. They had it should have been an interception, got tipped into a USD guy's hands for a touchdown. You know, when they played NDSU, we talked about the penalties that NDSU had that kind of kept their drives going. So I think they've had a lot of things go right for them this year. And I think that will be the case for this game, that they're going to have a lot of things go right, continue to go right in terms of, you know, breaks like that, big plays. If they continue to have that, this is going to be a very scary game, honestly, because they have the skill players. They've got the dudes. They've got some really fast players.
Carter Bell.
And, Carter Bell is just a flash of lightning out there. I mean, that guy, and he makes these crazy catches. he, you know, Stone talked about how Alex Wilde is so unassuming. Like, Carter Bell is about as unassuming as you can get. Like, that dude, he walks on the field and you're like, well, I'm not worried about that guy. Right. But man, like, that is a good little player. But yeah, they have some really good skill players. They got a couple of good running backs. And Bauman, if you give him enough time, he can sling it. And right. that's going to be a key, is to really pressure Bauman, not give him time to kind of find an open guy and wing it. Because when he does, he's got an arm. He's got a cannon, like an absolute mm-hmm. cannon on him. And I think we're going to have to do what we can to limit the big play. And so, you know, you kind of talked about it earlier in our thread, but I think we will see a lot of that bend, don't break defense, where we're going to do what we can to limit the big play. And I don't think we did a very good job of that against Southern Illinois. They got one big play against us. They could have had a couple more that they missed. And one of them, Gales made an amazing play on a guy that got past our safety that should have been a catch, but Gales came out of nowhere and took it away from him. But yeah, we'll just have to, I think we'll have to play deep and hope our guys get there before Bauman can find a guy, because yeah, I mean, USD is a good team. Mm-hmm. We have to give them credit, and our guys are going to have to be ready to play.
Yeah. And Bauman, if you look, for as immobile as people like to say he is, he's been sacked. They're tied for the least sacks given up in Valley play right now. So it's one thing to say get pressure on him and hurry him, but number one, because of God, I just said his name. Good Lord, the little receiver, that guy's
Carter Bell.
That dude is such a big play waiting to happen. They can get the ball out to him quick, and they just, you saw it in the NDSU game. He makes one guy miss, he's gone. Like, that dude is gone. You're not catching him. You can't allow that. They do a good job of trying to keep it balanced. They do. On my effing poll. That's what I'm saying for FFN from now on. Kevin says, make Bauman throw it 25 times and y'all win. You will have stopped the run game. That'll be a big key. You know, the other thing is, man, that dome is, there's some voodoo magic there. We do not have a good time there. I went and looked back as we were talking about spreads and whatever. And if that thing is over 13 points, there's no way. We have since 1989, we have won in the Dakota Dome or in Vermilion by 14 points three times total. And considering the amount of times we have won there, almost every game's been close. That's crazy. It is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it is. It'll be interesting to see. I think Jesse asked earlier, how much blue will be in the stands? Think it'll be close to 50-50. I think it'll still be more than 50% red, but I think it will be quite a bit blue. So if you are going to the game, make some noise, make a difference down there. But yeah, that dome, it's a weird place to play. It's kind of, the fans are kind of on top of the field a little bit. The one thing we do have going for us is that stupid play that happened the last time we were there. And most everybody that was a part of that play is still on the team. And so I'll guarantee you those guys have that in their heads, and they got that bad taste in their mouth, and they want to atone for that. And so there will be no lack of motivation in this one between that. And then I think also USD, I think it helps that USD is such a highly ranked team now, because before, like, they were usually kind of, you know, fighting to make the playoffs, and we're like, we're not that worried about USD. They're seen as a threat now. And I think that'll help to make sure that our guys are up for this game, as if they would have needed any other motivation. But I think it has been an issue in the past when we go down there and think, well, we're just going to walk in there and beat them. I mean, I think it's been kind of evident with the way that we played some of those games.
Yeah, you know, USD fans want it to be a rivalry. Well, all right.
I mean, yeah.
People used to dog SDSU for, you know, why can't you guys beat NDSU, whatever, before we start beating them regularly? And they're in the middle of the run, and then you'd have Indiana State snag one, or USD, for example, snag one. And it's like, yeah, I get it. You know, we need to snag one, but also we're getting their best shot because it's a rivalry game.
Yeah.
Like they're not sleeping on us. And that'd be a bigger factor if USD wasn't as good as they are this year. You know, they're very good. So I don't know if that's going to be as much of a factor, but going forward, it's going to be a factor. And
oh yeah,
you asked for it.
You just look at like SDSU and NDSU. I mean, you know, when we created that marker, I think they still considered UND to be their biggest rival. And in my opinion, it didn't really start to turn until SDSU started to get really good and started to beat them. And then they were like, okay, these guys are our equal. They're our rival now. Like, and UND's just, and I think that's the same way that happened to us with USD, and the D1 transition was part of that too. But, yeah, like you said, I mean, if they really want it to be a rivalry, they're going to have to be good consistently, and they're going to have to beat us consistently. So, yeah.
I'm Jesse says, by Kevin's comment.
Jesse says this weekend South Dakota is a blue state. I would argue that every weekend South Dakota is a blue state. Like always and forever, it's a blue state. He's talking politics. We don't talk politics on this show, Jesse.
Ever.
Who else? I think Ray said.
Wear blue.
Make sure you wear blue 100%.
Reminds me of my dream for this game of both teams wearing their solid colors, all red and all blue in that game.
Yeah, it that needs would be to cool. happen. It needs to happen in all sports. Like
I doubt just, it. I bet we go whites.
We're gonna go all whites. They're super clean. It'll look great. But this game would be. I mean, all right. You want to make this game special? Do that. There's enough of a contrast. Like you couldn't do that with NDSU for the marker game.
No,
dark blue and green would blend a little too much. But blue and red, like you wouldn't. There's not going to be an issue. Like, oh, I'm confused. Who's who here? Like that won't be an issue. I would love to see that happen.
It would be excellent. I agree. It needs to happen.
Matthew, thank you for mentioning Dustman. That was one thing I wanted to mention about the SIU game, how clutch he was both in the punt game and the kick game. Yes, he missed the first one, but he drilled the second one, and he was flipping the field all game with his punts. Shout out to Hunter Dustman. He was quite possibly the MVP of that game because he was huge. So he will, I think, I hope that he doesn't have to come through clutch to win the game. But if he does, I have all the faith in the world that he'll do just that.
It was almost Iowa-esque. It was so good.
I mean, it was. He
averaged on the amount he flipped the field. Maybe not the placement every time, just the amount, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was, as far as like being that much of an effect on the game, yes, it was, he had that big of an impact for sure.
And to average 54 yards a punt without out kicking your coverage.
Right.
Is a huge. And it tells you that we were backed up every time he was punting. Cause you can't just boot it 50 yards from the 40 without getting in trouble. I'm losing my voice here.
Yep. Yeah. Like the Iowa fans like to say punting is winning. Yes. Punting was winning at certain situations of that game. And it's so nice to have that luxury where like, even if you have to punt, you're like, well, I'm pretty sure he's going to flip the field for us. So, I think we'll be okay. And then we got the defense to stop them when they do get the ball. So
they had some critical stops, including that awesome one on the first drive where they drove all the way down the length of the field. And that was pretty critical. I think, you know, that set the tone on that side of the ball.
Yeah, as far as our defensive stops, you're saying?
Yeah, our defense, yeah.
Yeah, the short yardage, and it was amazing like how scared SIU was to run short yardage plays against us.
Yes.
Like they had like a fourth and inches, and they thought about it, and they're like, we're just gonna punt here because we probably aren't gonna get this one.
The two times they went for it, they got pushed 3 yards in the backfield.
Exactly. Yeah. So the chain gang had a huge game.
And I'd just love to see that again this week.
100%. If
they lived in the backfield, that'd be excellent.
Yeah, chain gang is going to be a key to this game. They need to put pressure on Bauman and shut their runs down early. And that's one thing, you know, you talked about their big plays. It's not just big pass plays. They've had really long run plays where they seem to break through the line and they are gone. And they've got two guys that can do it. It's Thomas and Tice. Yep. Both of those guys have breakaway capability. I have faith. Like I think we're one of the better, if not the best, tackling team in the nation. And so I don't see that happening to us, especially when we're playing that bend don't break defense. But yeah, again, just stop the big play from prevent it from happening. Outside of that,
like
I don't know what he did.
Yeah,
maybe just a little bit.
Sounded like that clip of the cat going. Bleh.
You know, when you talk about prevent defense, it makes me just.
Oh, okay, there it is. All right, yeah.
Chad is not a big fan of prevent defense.
There's a difference between prevent defense and
Ben don't
giving up some cushion.
Yes,
you know. Yeah, I mean, some guys love the cushion. Me, I like the bump at the line.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
What's that bump cost nowadays?
We'll leave that there.
I don't like it. I just like the way it smells, man.
Those candy references.
Anyway, moving on. Do we have anything else to say about this game? We're at a minute an hour and 20 minutes. Oh my God, Jim. We haven't even talked about sponsors this whole show.
I mean, I've been changing the scroll a bit at the bottom, but
Chad, shout out to Culver's Brookings and the Curder Burger. I burgled my curd the other day. It's a Ben's house.
I was just saying, tell him what my 7-year-old said to you the second you got in my house.
I walk in the basement and he looks at me because Ben doesn't even come upstairs and greet you at the door, which lazy.
I got a bum leg, man.
Unbelievable. He, you know, and then he's got crutches that he puts next to his chair. So he's like, oh, look, I can't do it. But he doesn't have a brace on, so he's probably fine. But Ben's youngest comes up to me and he's like, you burgle some curds.
And what's funny is you did have some curds along. Unfortunately, they had from curds. Culver's. Yes. Culver's needs to put a spot in Del Rapids because I would take Culver's over the other ice cream place in Del Rapids.
It would vary
1,000 times.
Heartbeat.
Yes, 1,000 times over one. Ray says every trip to Brookings, we stop at Culver's. Ryan gets 2 mushroom Swiss burgers. It's a requirement of his. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
I love that.
Attaboy.
Yes. Thank you, Ryan, for supporting Culver's and the Gronowskis. We appreciate it. And thank you, Culver's. Also, another amazing food establishment in Brookings. Thank you, Cubby's Sports Bar and Grill, the host of the Coach's Show. Go check that out. It's great every week. Great spot for food and beer and everything Jackrabbit Sports.
Speaking and of Cubby's, they do have good mixed drinks. But with Cubby's, they're doing the Chamber's doing that watch party downtown.
Yes.
And they are going to allow open carry drinks. Open carry, like a holster. Open carry your drinks. I can't think of the appropriate terms. Open container, whatever.
Open container.
Yeah. And
I have to have a permit.
Cubby's. And I have a permit.
I'm sure they got a permit so that you could have open containers.
But Cubby's and you know, some other bar will be selling drinks out in front of their establishments during the watch party. So I won't be able to make it. I got a party to get ready for, but it'll be a good time. Definitely recommend checking Cubby's out for that.
Yeah, and I don't. The weather doesn't look fantastic, so they did say that they're going to be sending out information about that, and we will definitely make sure to retweet that. So follow Jack Rabbit Illustrated for any information there. Do you know, is every bar serving outside or only?
They just said the two, Cubbies and Skinners.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Now we've blasphemed the Podfather's going to have our souls. But way to go. Hey, you made me do it. You made me say that. You know, that.
We're all about accurate information, just like the hair raisers.
Yes. Yes. We try to follow the hair raisers' lead with accuracy.
Hey, yes. By the way, I had a thought on this. I don't know what you guys think, but you know, I do the pudding shots and everybody loves the pudding shots. I thought about maybe getting a fanny pack and taking donations for the lemonade stand that we could put towards South Dakota State.
That would be legit. Yes. You know, if anybody's wondering,
you get, yeah, are you saying you get a pudding shot for every donation you make?
I'm saying free will. I don't like to charge per se. You know what I'm saying?
But you can't legally charge anyways because you'd go to jail. Well,
no, it's all donations, but yeah, I suppose you can just tell people as you're handing out putting shots, hey, doing free will donations.
So like for Royston would have to come up with $20 because he, you know, hits the pudding shots.
Because he owes you
every week.
We should set him up a trough next time.
I'll just make a giant bag of cookies and cream like I do before I portion it out and just right. Let them, you know, slap the bag and chug it.
Oh, that'd be awesome. So if anybody's wondering about the lemonade stand, go ahead.
I have seen him like kind of follow you around. Like he'll be standing with me and he'll be like, oh yeah, I'll take one. And then he'll see you walk to somebody else and he'll be standing by them and he'll be like, oh yeah, I'll take one.
Chad turns around, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know him. Anyway.
The lemonade stand we're talking about is if listen to FCS Nation Radio. They're partnered with Northwestern Mutual and the players are a part of helping Alex's Lemonade Stand. Alex's Lemonade Stand is a charity for fighting childhood cancer. It is a great cause. And to make it fun, all the teams have had captains picked, and you can go and donate to one of the captains' names. Mason McCormick's on there. I saw Mark's on there. Brian Williams is on there. And as it sits right now, I don't think we're winning, which is a damned shame. We should be winning every one of these. So there's... we need B-Team Mafia to show out for this.
For sure, we got Brian Williams, Quentin Hicks, and Mark Gronowski.
Quentin Hicks. Shame on me.
I don't know if Mason's...
Quentin, I hope you're not listening right now. I'm mad at me. I apologize. I listened to that episode, too.
Yeah, if you are curious about the lemonade stand and you want to hear from a couple Jackrabbit players, go check out the lemonade stand segment from last week's FCS Nation Radio podcast. Quentin and Brian were both on. Yes. They did a great job talking about what the lemonade stand's about and what Northwestern Mutual does and the good cause that they're helping out. And so go check that out. And then also go to the lemonade stand link that we will tweet out after the show.
And yeah. If anybody is donating and you haven't checked or you don't know, I know where I work. For certain nonprofits and charities, they will match my donation. So go ahead and check that out. You might be able to get double your bang for your buck for a great cause. You know, obviously fighting childhood cancer is a huge deal. You know, the Children's Hospital in Sioux Falls is a big deal. Always have the telethons for that. This is another great way to help out a great cause and show NDSU and USD that we're better than them. So 100%. I mean, this is a chance to show you're genuinely a better person. That's what I think. So I see no negatives to doing this.
Looks
we
like
have considered, we have.
Is what's Aiden the lead? Bauman at 750. Do you think we can raise? Do you think gross. We can raise like,
We should have done this at the beginning. Maybe we'll do like a telethon version during the, during Scared Money Don't Make Money.
We should do something, right? Because, yeah, we've got Aiden Bauman from USD at 750 and CJ Siegel at from UND at 600.
And then maybe we'd be better. They're putting all their eggs in one basket. We're kind of Eli Mostert.
Well, we'll combine our eggs. Eli Mostert from NDSU at 375. Yeah, we need to change this.
That's the leaderboard.
The standings right there.
Yeah.
Okay, Jim's saying that's recent donations and not a leaderboard, but
I'm pretty sure that's a leaderboard. It's the standings. But anyway, yes, we will tweet out
recent donations. It does say recent
son of
I know that Chad just posted it on the deal here, the link for everything. So if you go and click when you go on to Alex's Lemonade Stand, it'll have the deal for donate and learn more, find the players, click on that, and then you will be able to go right down. It'll have the list of all the players. Click on the player's name. This pops up, and then you can donate to that player's name.
Pick any SDSU player and donate, and we will combine those, and we will beat UND, NDSU, and USD to prove we are the best of the four.
Absolutely. With that, the A team there.
We are an hour and a half into this. We did have.
I got another 30 minutes in me, man. Come on.
No, then we're not going to turn this into a Brendan and Borg fest here.
Come on. Yeah, I was just curious how you possibly went over 30 minutes on the Scared Money Don't Make Money.
I got tricked.
I just wanted to do it once. I genuinely will try to keep it at 30 minutes for the rest of the time.
Sounds good.
Here's the call, guys.
Like Jim says, like we always say, go big, go blue, go Jacks.
Go Jacks.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. We would also like to once again thank our sponsors, the Kubota Dealers of South Dakota, Culver's of Brookings and Watertown, Jackrabbit Central, and Colby Sports Bar and Grill. And as always, go Jacks.